Welcome to Speak in Flow, the podcast that helps leaders like you unlock the power of your voice, achieve maximum potential and flow through exceptional communication. I'm your host, Melinda Lee, and I am passionate about helping company leaders and their teams master public speaking, pitching with impact, and stepping into their full leadership potential. Thanks for tuning in to the Speak in Flow podcast, which is the top 10% of podcasts worldwide. When you stick around until the end, I have an exclusive gift just for listeners only, something that will immediately help you and your team up-level your communication. Let's dive in. Welcome, dear listeners, to the Speak and Flow podcast, where we dive into unique experiences to help you and your team achieve maximum potential and flow, even when the stakes are high. Today, I have a leader with a proven track record of implementing technological initiatives and advancements to drive business growth. He is the chief of staff at DDN, Ramon Lim. Hi, Ramon.
Hi, Melinda.
I'm so glad you're here. I'm ready to jump into this conversation. And before we do that, can you share what is exciting in the world of DDN and AI?
Well, you said it, you know, two letters, right? One word, AI. Yeah. So I feel like, you know, we're in a once in a lifetime. I've worked in technology my entire career, essentially. And we're in a once in a lifetime opportunity where things are moving extremely fast. I work for DDN. I'm the chief of staff to the CEO there. We are one of the leading data intelligence companies. Without data, you really cannot get intelligence from AI. So we really live in that space and add value there. So just being in this industry where everything is moving extremely fast, where the potential of just discoveries, medical discoveries across the board, and all these different businesses that could just get to intelligence faster is extremely exciting to me. So that is the number one exciting thing that, that I'm working on and I'm living in.
Yeah, no, I've got goosebumps. It's pretty phenomenal. It's amazing. And it's also scary at the same time.
It is, yeah.
So fast. And so I feel like that's probably where hopefully communication skills, to hone them, to master them, will really help businesses.
Yeah.
And so you being in technology in the industry for this long and seeing so much growth and now working at this level as chief of staff, you've learned a lot of lessons. I'm sure it was did not always start this way for you to be where you're at. So can you share with us, the beginning, what happened when things didn't go very well? Take us back.
Yeah, I mean, to this day, you know, things don't go well, right? I can say that with high level certainty. But maybe one experience that I'd like to share occurred early on in my career. And it's something that sticks with me, and I still remember the lessons from that. So I remember early on in my career, I was just starting a job. Literally, it was the first week of my start. Okay. I was in a function such that I had to work through influence and with a lot of different executives, meaning they weren't my directs, and I had to push efforts, strategic efforts, and projects forward. So that first week, the CEO of the company that I worked for set a directive to the entire company that operating budgets needed to be slashed, cut, essentially. Each department got a certain reduction target. So every department was told to, you need to reduce 10% or you need to reduce 20%. Our department got that number as well. So one of my first, actually, it's probably the first responsibility of my job was for me to get our reduction target for our department, work with the different executives by analyzing our system of how much is going to be projected to be spent for the rest of the year, what can we do to meet those targets and then come up with some plans. Because in 2 weeks, it would be presented to the CEO. Each department will present to the CEO. So that was the ask, essentially. So I spent some time analyzing our software systems to project what each executive should have in terms of a reduction target to meet our departmental budget. So I communicated to each executive, and then that week, and then the following week, I work with all the different executives on coming up with the plan. Part of the plan included, we're not going to work on this project. We're not going to buy this piece of software or hardware. And then, unfortunately, part of the plan was also, we're going to get rid of this team. We're going to reduce, these people in these locations and so forth. So I remember coming into the weekend before the following week, which we're going to present to the CEO. I had all the plans in place from all the different executives. What I was doing over the weekend was essentially taking all these plans and then coming up with a PowerPoint presentation that we would present the following week to the CEO. And I remember very clearly that weekend, I was going through double checking everything, double checking the numbers since it's going to be presented just to make sure that everything's correct, going back to our system and everything. To make a long story short, I realized that I made a fundamental error in what I understood the data to be, such that I gave reduction targets to the different executives that were more aggressive than it needed to be. In other words, they didn't need to slash as much as I told them that they needed to slash. And I remember I found this out like on a Saturday morning, and I was like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, I can't believe that I made this mistake. And so it was very
So
difficult.
I'm just curious, like, so when you said I thought, how, what did you feel in your body? Like, what was
Dread.
that
I
dread?
mean, like literally it was dread. And I'm a very solution-oriented person, so I immediately jumped to, what am I gonna do? That's like the immediate need. And so some of the options played out in my head because I just didn't really have a lot of time. I'll say the number one option that bubbled up on my head in my head is like, you know what? Just don't say anything. Meaning, obviously communicate it to my boss, right? But just don't say anything because who doesn't want to go under budget, right? Who doesn't want to go under? Now we have our now we have a little leg room, so to speak,
room.
right? When new things come up, and then we could fund them. So it'll be kind of like our little cushion. Don't say anything. That was one option. And then the second option was, which really weighed heavily on me. It's like you have to say something because these are mainly people getting laid off. That is the biggest operating cost that that generally a company has. And I just that to me, that was just I that was a major thing. And the reason why the decision was so difficult was because of that, but also literally I just started. Like literally, I just started, right? I work with the different executives on coming up with these aggressive target reduction plans, and there was difficult decisions being made because they had to work with their own managers in terms of cutting people. And I'm like, oh my God, it's like my first 2 weeks here. And then I was like, oops, sorry, I messed up. Okay. But what I ultimately did was that I went with the second option, option B, right? I came clean.
How did you, I'm so curious, like, so was it something, it was mainly the layoffs, you knew that people's jobs were on the line. Were you thinking about it the entire day? Like, because it was Sunday, you have to present by Monday?
Yeah, it was Saturday.
Saturday.
I didn't think about it the entire day to be because quite frankly, because I just did we didn't have time,
I'm
right? We didn't have time. So I sat with it for like 2 hours,
okay.
right? But I think it was
Did you hear, like, feel yourself going one way toward another, or you just kind of like you went for your gut?
well, at least the kind of person I am. Oftentimes when we're faced with a decision, I'll speak for myself. I always know what I'm going to decide right away. Right? There's been many, I can't even think of one situation where you're like on the fence toss, oftentimes like you kind of know, but you kind of like needed some time for it to kind of like sit with you, for you to process. So
Right.
when that happened, I already knew that I was gonna go with option B, the
Yeah.
second option. I already knew that.
Okay.
But I needed some time to accept,
Yeah.
right? Accept
Yeah.
that this might look bad. I just started a job. I messed up. That's the difficult part.
Right.
I wasn't careful enough. You know how we all beat ourselves up.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it's more accepting that I'm going to have to process this error. But I decided within like 2 hours, like pretty quick,
Got it.
just because there's just not a lot of time. And then what I did is I emailed. Remember, this is the weekend, right? I emailed each executive individually, right? I let them know that I made a mistake, that I communicated that their target was X percent reduction, but it should have been X minus 2%, for example. I mentioned to them that I understand this is a weekend. I'm not expecting people to like jump in and because there's a lot of plans, but because I worked with them over the previous week, I had the benefit of some context. Now remember, I'm new to the company. I took a pass at what what that new reduction target will be that's less aggressive, right? Because I knew that I might not get all the information. We're still presenting next week to the CEO, no matter what. And so I did that. Some executives followed up, some didn't, right? But ultimately, I put the presentation together and then we presented. So that was the situation, and that's what happened.
And how did you feel afterwards?
The presentation didn't go ideal. I mean, it wasn't horrible, right? But it wasn't perfect just because I didn't get all the information that I needed, understandably, because it was a weekend and people were traveling and having a life, right? But I did my best.
Yeah.
I did my best considering the circumstances, but I felt like what sat with me well is that, I mean, I value integrity quite a bit. And just being honest, I think that's extremely important, because I've seen that lacking sometimes with other people in the workforce. And so for me, that's very important beyond career progression or whatever.
Great.
And the fact that I just, stuck with what I think was important, what I valued, I think that's what stayed with me to this day. Because
And
I
I
think
really
that,
enjoyed it. Yeah. Like what you said, like beyond career progression, I think that most people, because they're such on the path toward career progression, that if they ever mess up, if they're ever wrong, it becomes so hard for them to even admit it, to acknowledge it. And then that's actually what I think damages companies, organizations.
it does.
I think it's just, it's horrible because then, but I don't know how people sleep at night sometimes, but I think that's just up to them. But I think what you said was so key. Like you said, your integrity is that much more important to you. And you're able to, willing to take on the responsibility of it, the repercussions of it. And what happened with the COO? What did the COO think?
The CEO, the presentation,
The COO or CEO? Was it CEO?
CEO,
Oh, okay, the CEO.
yeah,
Okay.
the CEO. So I mean, from his perspective, he's just getting data that's being presented to him,
Oh,
so
okay. So
he accepted it. He didn't know, no, and
he didn't know the
he
background. Okay,
didn't, I
got
mean,
it,
and
got
he
it.
shouldn't know the details.
Got
But
it, got
what
it.
was difficult is that I had to make certain decisions, and I
Right.
think a lot of us at work sometimes, we have to make some decisions to move forward. And I made some decisions absent, the executive's input, just because there was no time.
Right.
So I had to do, apart from the damage control associated with correcting everything, I also have to do some damage control with the individual execs. And I said, I had to present something. So why don't we work together on maybe what we can change or course correction and so forth? So I spent some time doing that as well afterwards, right? And we did submit a revised version to the CEO. So that was a little difficult for me. Again, it's like, oh, I messed up. I just started. But I think for me the takeaway is that when we mess up, right, we have to be realistic about it. We have to go into damage control, and we might not be able to get to the ideal state. We could be far from it, but we do our best to get to the ideal state, and then very importantly, we move on. We move on from there, and then it's over, move on. And
And what about the executives? Like, what happened with the exec you and the executives?
so I think overall, and I say overall because there were a number of executives, there wasn't just a handful. Overall, I think this turned out to be a positive thing from, you know, because I stayed with that company for a while. Positive from the perspective of that some executives appreciated honesty, because I think unfortunately sometimes in the workforce, again, that's not something that you come across. And I think when people expose their own vulnerabilities, it's definitely something that, you know, messing up and coming, being honest about and coming clean, I think it's something that all of us can resonate with in some way. And the fact that I came and you know, I just started, you know, being vulnerable about it, I think that helped elicit that trust. You know, I mentioned that I was in a role where it was really influencing type role, and it helped me with that. Some executives, and I say for the most part, because I would say for the most part, though, that was kind of the chemistry, but some executives were pissed, understandably, right? And I just managed through it, and what can I do at that point, except apologize and so forth. But overall, I think it went well.
And I think that that's the best that you could do is apologize, accept it, move forward,
Move on.
move
Move on.
on. And then, so how do you think that that has helped you? Like, when things today, if there's emotion, things are not going as planned, how do you think that this lesson has impacted you today?
So this happened early on. So I think for me, the first lesson is that you have to stay true to yourself when you're making decisions and when you're confronted or asked to do certain things. Because at the end of the day, you know, a job is important, but a job is just a job, right? A job will not stay with you forever. You stay with yourself forever till the end of your life. So you have to be comfortable with the decisions that you make. And being comfortable with the decisions that you make is being true to your values, because when you're not true to your values, you start to devalue yourself, I feel. And that experience has also led me to make certain decisions in my past of leaving certain companies because certain things did not resonate with what I valued to be important. So that was one big lesson for me. The second big lesson was what I just mentioned about damage control, right? Doing everything that you can, but just realizing that you cannot, if you messed up, you might not be able to reverse the whole thing. And that is okay, which is the third lesson that I take to my to today. When I mess up, whether it be work or personal life, move on, right? Because what I experienced after that mess up early on is that you become a little fearful, right? You're like, okay, and slower for that matter, you know, double checking, triple checking, and then it becomes a little crazy. And especially me working in this AI space where everything moves so fast, right? You have to move on, just move on. And I think sometimes as individuals, you know, we beat ourselves so much up so much. We're like our harshest critics. Like, we would never treat ourselves the way we treat our friends and our loved ones, and we stay with it. So that's something that I took early on, and I still struggle with it. I think, you know, I'm human like everybody else, and messing up is part of life, and sometimes it's a big whoopsie, and it's like, oh, right, and it sits with you. But the important thing is move on.
I think especially in the executive level, because a mess up can mean millions of dollars. And so then, of course, we're going to be a little bit slower. But I think if I've talked to all the when as I'm talking to CEOs, executives, I think they'd rather have you take those risks. They'd rather have you because you need to all do it as a team. The CEO can't be the only one. I mean, the CEO or the executives, none of them really know what they're taking risks every day.
Yeah, and everybody should take risks because
Yes.
not taking a risk is costing money.
Right. That's the time.
Sitting on
The thing.
something, you know,
Costing money too.
and lack of decision making
Right.
is a decision and
Right.
it's costing money.
Right. But the challenge is when we're taking those risks, how do you know which ones to take and which ones not to, so that you can minimize the risk as much as possible?
My perspective on that in personal life and also work
Yeah.
is just a simple question. That's not super simple, but it's simple at least in one. It's a question. It's like, are you willing, or is the organization willing, if it's a, you know, a company thing, to accept the worst case scenario? Are you willing? Right? If you're,
Is it worth it enough?
is it worth it
Right.
enough? Exactly. And
Yeah.
if it is, go for it.
Right.
If it's not, do a little more assessment, get a little more data, because oftentimes decision making, which is a big piece of our everyday lives and everything, you know, the key thing for decision making is informed decision making. How something becomes informed is you get more data.
Right.
And sometimes, many times actually, we don't have the luxury of time to get more data, more data points and everything. So there comes a certain point in time where you have enough data to make an informed decision, such that given what you have in terms of knowledge and everything, you can make a decision where if it is the wrong one, you're willing to accept the worst case scenario.
Right.
And that's
And
my perspective.
no, I totally, I agree. Thousand, yeah, I agree. And I think with now with AI, you can get all of that data so much faster and even play out what are the worst case scenarios and, you know, and just play all of that out and put that in and get the data to make more of an informed decision. Now, challenges, all the other companies are doing the same.
Yeah, that's why, I mean, that's why it's like, you know, that's why it's so exciting,
It's exciting.
right? It's exciting because, you know, we talk about democratizing data, which means having access, giving access to everybody. You know, maybe disadvantaged people don't have access to the internet, for example. But now we talk about what I like to talk about is democratizing intelligence. So, for example, you know, a lot of us probably, you know, all of us probably use ChatGPT or some AI tool in some way.
Right.
And if we're going through a situation that maybe requires legal help, for example, not all of us have the luxury of financial resources to engage a lawyer. And I'm not saying that these AI tools, you know, a lawyer will probably shoot me for saying that. I'm not saying that these AI tools will get, should give you legal advice, and neither should people rely on this. But the point is that there's now some technology, some tool where you can get a little closer, a little insight, where in the past you wouldn't be able to. So that's why AI is so exciting in terms of leveling the playing field, so to speak, and giving people access to intelligence across the board. That's
I
what
love
makes it so exciting. One of the many things.
Right. It's not just data, it's intelligence.
It is all about intelligence because, you know, like, you know, somebody can give me, like, even before AI, somebody can give me access to a database with gazillion data. It's like, so what? That's data. So what? Right? But giving me a report, or giving me, this is my analysis, that's the intelligence part. And
Yeah.
now with AI, you could just go much quicker now.
Yeah. It's fun. I actually enjoy what I
Yeah.
do as an entrepreneur, small business owner. It's so fun. And I'm
Yeah.
so glad you're doing what you're doing. And we have, leaders with integrity. Because I'd imagine everyone at DDN, with the CEO, you being the chief of staff, you all share similar values. And I'm glad to see companies such as DDN on the forefront of that. And so it's exciting, and taking how we can use all of this and helping the community and our world.
Yeah, for sure.
And so, Ramon, I have one more question. What is that one golden takeaway that you want leaders to remember if they're in a mess up situation or if it's just not going the way they want or is planned? What advice would you give them?
So many takeaways, but I think one advice that I would give after a mess up is to stick to your values. And I would say be vulnerable and come clean and just be honest about it and be vulnerable. Because I feel like many times that moment of, especially if somebody's at a certain level, right? Just being very honest about something. Right, really makes an impact on people. And whether that person communicates that you made an impact on them or not is a different story, but it makes an impact on people. And then in a way paves the way for somebody to do the same. And I guess the second thing that I'd like to share is also that if somebody makes an impact on you, a positive impact on you, communicate it to that person. Because, I can remember many times in my personal life and in my career where somebody has made a real positive impact. And I still remember that person to this day, but I never really said anything. Right. So communicate it, tell them, hey, you know what you did in the meeting, or hey, you know what, when you said that, or when you spoke up, that really meant a lot to me. That really meant a lot to me. And I remember that, or something, say something. Because many times that we are so awesome, right? Back to that beating yourself up. We're so awesome. And just tell somebody that they are. If you believe they are, if they maybe had a moment of awesomeness, tell it. So that would be my takeaway to
Well,
others.
Ramon, I am inspired. I just want to let you know that when I mess up, I will remember today. I will remember your very vulnerable, inspiring story. And I'm going to do the right thing.
Awesome.
I'll
Thank
let you
you.
know. I'll let
I'm
you
sure you
know.
will.
You might get a lot of emails from me and text messages saying, oh, there it goes again.
Happy
But
to. We all mess up every day.
I'll mess up. And I used to be more afraid of messing up, but I've gotten better, but
Yeah.
still it's a work in progress.
It's a lifelong thing. And setbacks also set you back in that too. So that's why it's important to move on.
I'm so proud of my daughter. My daughter plays volleyball, basketball, and flag football. She's like, setback is a setup for a comeback.
Nice. Nice. I
I
like that. I'll take
quoted
that.
that.
That's a nice.
Setback
Nice.
is a setup for comebacks. So
Nice.
thank you, Ramon. Thank you so
Thank
much.
you for having me.
Thank you, leaders and audience. I trust that you got your golden takeaway, implement it right away, and remember, anytime you have a chance to communicate, you're not just communicating, you're connecting and also inspiring to make a positive difference in the world. Thank you. Much love. Until next episode, I'll see you then. Bye-bye. Bye, Ramon.
Bye.
That's a wrap on today's Speak and Flow podcast. I hope that you gained valuable insights to help you communicate with more clarity, connection, and confidence. Before you go, let me ask you this. Can your team communicate your founder story in a way that strengthens relationships and builds your company brand? If not, I've got a tool for you. Introducing, it's an AI founder story creator. This is a tool to help you craft a compelling story instantly that you can share with your team, and therefore your team can share with lots of people, building your brand. Grab this tool. In addition to creating immediately your founder story, you're also going to get one-on-one coaching with me so that we can continue to refine the story so that it's in alignment with your company messaging. Click on the link in the show notes, grab it today, and until next time, keep leading with confidence and courage.